Welcome, and thank you for joining us for the NAHU Healthcare Happy Hour, the official podcast of the National Association of Health Underwriters. Before we begin, please take a moment to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or Spotify. The podcast is distributed on these platforms every Friday and is included in the NAHU's weekly member-exclusive health policy newsletter, The Washington Update, giving you a head start on your weekly healthcare happy hour. We apologize for the audio quality on this week's episode of the Healthcare Happy Hour. We are practicing social distancing and recording in our individual homes.
Last week, NAHU had the opportunity to preview and comment on the upcoming edition of the Medicare and You Handbook. The handbook includes a summary of Medicare benefits, rights and protections, list of available health and drug plans, and more. In addition, CMS announced this week that the special enrollment period in the case of major disasters also applies to COVID-19. Mike Smith, chair of both the NAHU FMO Council and Medicare Advisory Group, joins John Green on this week's episode to discuss our comments on the Medicare NU handbook, as well as this new SEP development. Before we get to the handbook, let's discuss this breaking news this week that COVID-19 can invoke the FEMA SEP. What exactly does this mean for brokers and beneficiaries?
Well, thanks, Dan, for having us on for another Medicare discussion, and we're very pleased to have our chair, Mike Smith, join us. So while the notice is very welcome, it also has been confusing. I'm getting a lot of calls and emails, and so is Mike, regarding exactly what does this SEP say, particularly what are the dates. I've seen carrier notices that have all sorts of different start and end dates. The notice talks a lot about the March 17th to June 17th, but there's a separate set of dates, March 1st to June 30th. Let's take these one at a time. There are two sets of dates. One is for Part A and B for equitable relief. That is March 17th through June 17th, which is equal to 3 months. For Part C and Part D, the dates are March 1st through June 30th, which is equal to 4 months from the designated start date. So you have to look at these as two different sets of dates, whether it applies to Part A and B or C and D. And I think that that's causing a lot of confusion, but you have to be clear about which program you're talking about in Medicare, A, B, C, or D, and what dates apply to that part of Medicare. So what it says here is if they had an enrollment right that was an IEP, GEP, or an SEP, then they may have those rights extended. So you had to have had the right to one of these enrollment periods for this to apply. COVID in and of itself does not invoke an SEP, though it makes reference to the FEMA declaration. That date does not apply, nor does the SEP apply simply due to COVID. So you have had to have had an IEP, GEP, or an SEP right in the first place during those dates. So they're basically giving greater flexibility for agents than to complete those enrollment applications had they been eligible for one of those enrollment periods. Mike, do you have anything more you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, thanks, John. I think the important thing here to take away is that if we just looked at the CMS website, the way they phrase this is titled COVID-19 Enrollment Flexibility Announcement. It's an announcement. It's simply that. And in this announcement, they make reference several times to granting equitable relief. And that relief that you referenced is going to specifically identify an IEP, a GEP, or an SEP. So I think you covered the dates, but the important thing I took away from this is that it is an announcement. It is not a new SEP. And in this announcement, it's simply granting equitable relief.
Are there any other major actions that we expect CMS to take in response to the pandemic?
So I think the honest answer here is that it depends on the duration of the pandemic. If it continues on into the fall, for example, during the AEP, perhaps they move the start of the AEP up a couple of weeks or something like that. but it's hard to say what other actions will be necessary. I've heard a lot of issues relative to Social Security offices being closed, and CMS is working very closely with the Social Security Administration on how to remedy those applications for Part A and for Part B. And they do have a process in place, but it takes time to filter down to all the local offices so that they're all on the same page. So if you have a Social Security office with which you're working with and having difficulty running enrollments through because you can't get the dedicated fax number, or they're requiring employer signatures, which are in fact not required right now, or documentation issues, you can send them to me at jgreen@nehu.org. And I have a CMS contact who can help get this to his counterpart at Social Security to rectify or fix some of these issues so that the local Social Security Administration offices are operating the way that they should be at this time.
Let's take a moment to talk about the upcoming AEP. What is NAHU doing to ensure this coming AEP goes smoothly?
We have been in constant contact with CMS since the last AEP rollout, and we are organizing a call next week with our CEO, Janet Trautwein, to communicate our priorities for this AEP. Now, keep in mind that just because we communicate what those priorities are doesn't mean that they will do what we want. That's why I'm having our CEO pitch it to them, to stress to them the importance of our priority and why, and that we believe that a solution that we have with regard to an anonymous drug search could benefit the beneficiary and protect the beneficiary's information and allow us to do the job that we're trying to do on behalf of the beneficiary. Justin Lubinow, who is on our Medicare Advisory Group, has been a real champion for your issues in terms of, you know, the technology and all the issues that we were raising with them on weekly calls. And he and I attended a stakeholder call last week in which they previewed some changes that they are making for the upcoming AEP. And I have to say that I think we were both underwhelmed by what they are planning in terms of changes. They are not very dramatic improvements, but we're going to continue to push for more substantial changes. For example, the print functions are very frustrating to all, but they don't anticipate making very significant changes there. There is one issue I want to raise with you that you will be unhappy about. Unfortunately, they are building an integration to CSG for Medicare supplement quotes that will be on the Plan Finder. As you know, they were totally unprepared for information on medical supplements because that's under state purview. So just even gathering basic information was inconsistent and often incorrect. So here's some of our concerns with doing what they're proposing. Exposing all this Medigap premium information directly to beneficiaries has the potential of, first of all, cutting agents out and resulting in beneficiaries going directly to carriers. These quotes could provide false hope in that they may not qualify for a plan or the price due to underwriting. So this is only true if you're in your initial enrollment right. I think they're going to find that they've created a bigger problem by going this route. And I've already let HHS know of our concern, and we intend to raise it when we have our call with CMS.
John, one thing I would add to that is that NAHU has been communicating more directly with CMS in the last year or so than we have in the past, and that's opened up a good pipeline of communication. And as evidence, we had the recent comment letter, which was 8 pages. Janet Trautwein did deliver that to CMS on behalf of NAHU, the FMO Advisory Council, and the Medicare Advisory Group. So I think the improvement of communication will cement our relationship as a stakeholder into the future to help develop the processes for this next AEP, and I think our members will see improvements in time.
Moving on to the Medicare and You handbook, what were some of the substantial changes that we suggested to CMS?
There were a few overarching themes. One was relative to consistency of the terms of art in the handbook, where they seem to flex between AEP and OEP, mixing those up. We experienced that during the Plan Finder rollout with conversations each week with them, that they would talk about them interchangeably. And so I think it's important that such terms are consistent throughout the handbook. There were specific issues on which we really did do a serious drill down. We understand that, you know, space is limited, and in a perfect world, there would be more information, but sometimes it would be nice if they would just say people's circumstances are different and you should consult with a licensed agent or, you know, ship counselor for further information because people's circumstances are different.
I think that the Medicare New Handbook is one of the most important publications that CMS produces each year. It does become a great reference source for anyone who does not know anything about Medicare, that if they spent an hour with that book, they'd have a very good idea of what Medicare does or does not do for Medicare beneficiaries. One thing that I feel, though, that is sorely lacking is a reference to a licensed insurance agent. Oftentimes, we see that there are multiple references in the book with regards to the state health insurance program, the SHIP counselors, or a 1-800 Medicare call. However, there's really not a reference in there to a professional licensed insurance agent. So any place in that handbook where there was a reference to a SHIP counselor or 1-800 Medicare, we want them to add language specifically naming a licensed insurance agent. That was probably the number one ask if I had to rank them in order. There were other things that were developing, and certainly that's some of this is fueled by the recent COVID-19 epidemic regarding e-visits. They don't do a very good job of elaborating on things like telehealth or video conferencing with a doctor. However, in today's world, that's become very important. And so we'd like to see them include a bit more language in there about how that would work. You mentioned, John, the inconsistencies on things where they may refer to a copay on one page and a copayment on another page, and then yet a third reference to a coinsurance on another page. We would like for them to develop consistencies. And to the next point, we also live in a world of acronyms, so it makes it very confusing when we start talking about the AEP or an OEP. And unfortunately, there are some references to the open enrollment period in the book that actually should be referring to the annual enrollment period. So we would like for them to develop more consistencies on how they reference these acronyms. Recently, many of our members know this, that the Medicare ID card had a person's Social Security number on there, and that's now been changed, and that's now referred to as a Medicare Beneficiary Identifier, or MBI for short, and yet there's really not a reference to an MBI. It just references their claim number. We'd like to see them properly term that. They've asked us to call it that. We expect them to lead by example in that regard. There were other things related to COBRA, and again, just due to only having so much print space available in the handbook. We'd like to see them develop a chart in the future, and we'll continue our work with CMS, and hopefully that'll be an ask that we get at some point to better describe COBRA and the various situations, because COBRA is a real trap when it comes to Medicare and creates quite a few problems. One of the other major takeaways that we discussed was referring to a Medicare prescription drug plan, when in fact, these plans are not necessarily provided through Medicare, but rather through a private health insurance company. And while that may seem to be a technicality, in reality, when we get appointed and certified by our insurance carriers that provide prescription drug plans through Medicare Part D, we'd like for those references to be made a little more clear. It's not necessarily a Medicare prescription drug plan, but Part D, a drug plan provided by a private health insurance company.
So what would you say are the most major takeaways from our review of the handbook draft?
Well, Dan, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about the fact that the handbook is simply void of any real meaningful reference to a licensed insurance professional. And in lieu of just allowing for a couple of references to governmental agencies, I would suggest that our number one takeaway this year was for CMS to include language that references a licensed insurance professional as a source for true Medicare information. That would be my number one wish. The second, we feel that because of the COVID epidemic, there are so many new options with telehealth and video conferencing with doctors that we don't feel that that's going to go away in the future, and therefore the handbook probably should have a little bit more education about what is an electronic visit via telehealth or video conferencing. So e-health needs to be beefed up. And then the third thing is COBRA. We all know that Medicare and COBRA do not play well together in the sandbox. And the intersection between those two often creates problems that result with things that are either claims that go unpaid or late enrollment penalties. But very seldom do we ever hear a good story when Medicare and COBRA are mentioned in the same breath. So we'd really like for CMS to include more references to the pitfalls and do's and don'ts when it comes to a COBRA option and how that might play into primary and secondary language with Medicare, late enrollment penalties, and other unintended consequences.
It is now time for the NAHU Healthcare Happy Hour Toast of the Week. Who are we toasting to this week?
Well, Dan, this week I'd like to toast two of the groups that belong to NAHU. One is the NAHU FMO Council, and also I'd like to toast the Medicare Advisory Group. Both of these groups have done a great job of working on things for us in the last couple of months, so here's my toast to them.
Cheers!
Thank you for joining us for the NAHU Healthcare Happy Hour, the official podcast of the National Association of Health Underwriters. For more information on NAHU's Government Affairs efforts or to become a member, visit NAHU.org.